Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
Today we have our second installment in our series, Have Faith in God. Come out of your comfort zone. Somebody says, have faith in God. Sure, I have faith in God. No, I really want to examine that fundamental truth. Have faith in God. Our key verses for this study are Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And our other key verse is Hebrews 10, 38. Now the just, born again people, shall live by faith. You see, having faith, trust in God, is the essence of spirituality. We must understand this. Your spiritual life begins when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Have faith in God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Have you ever heard someone say, well, just keep the faith? Well, that's great. Keep your faith in what? Some blind hope that everything will turn out okay? There is only one thing to have faith in, and that is God Almighty. He's always been, ever will be, and He is King of kings and Lord of lords. Your spiritual life begins the moment that you trust Jesus Christ apart from any works. You have faith in His shed blood. Not in your works. And that shed blood is what takes away the sin of the world. When you realize in the quietness of your mind that there is absolutely nothing you can do to earn your salvation, it is solely dependent upon the work of redemption done by Jesus. His stripes, His broken body, His shed blood, His death, burial, and resurrection, the perfect Lamb of God. Your spiritual life begins with faith in that work of redemption. Now that you are born again, does God expect you to tighten up the bootstraps and pull it off on your own? No. Hebrews 10:38, the just, those who are justified, declared innocent because they've trusted Christ, shall live daily by faith. You were saved by faith. You are to live by faith. Have faith in God. The emphasis of this study is to appreciate having faith in God, but a special amount of attention is given to the believer, live now by faith. You see, when we have faith, it pleases God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Christian, if you do not live with faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't do it. It doesn't say it's difficult. It says it is a virtual impossibility. Trusting God in daily living is proper thinking, and that is the whole essence. It's our thinking. Do you have to do it, or do you trust God? When the disciples were called upon to feed the 5,000, they had to pass baskets. It was up to God to multiply the fish and the loaves. Can you pass a basket? Yes, I can pass a basket. Can I multiply fish and loaves? No way. We do what we can, and it is God that gives the increase. What is the challenge for proper thinking? Is Proverbs 3:5. Trust, that's a command. Trust in the Lord, you born-again people, with all your heart. Your innermost thinking and convictions. Have it resting upon the solid rock of God Almighty. And don't lean to your own understanding. Oh, this is where I want to get in this study. Because God is going to call you to come out of your comfort zone. Wait a minute, that's not me. And that's exactly what God is saying. Yes, that's what I want you to do. We will get there. But right now, we're laying a foundation. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Trust Him in daily living. If you trust Jesus Christ to have paid your sin debt to settle your eternal destiny, do you not think He can see you through today? Isn't that a mind-boggling thought? What are you worried about? Well, I'm not worried about eternity. That's settled. But I don't think God can see me through tomorrow because I have got to do such and such. I hope you never forget that concept. If He can save your soul for all eternity, can He see you through tomorrow? You see, we have an adversary out there that tries to trip up our thinking. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent Satan was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, and he still says it to us today, hath God said. Because he wants you to doubt the word of God. Did God really say that? He followed that up with a blatant contradiction in Genesis 3:4. The serpent said, ye shall not surely die. He starts with a question. And then it comes the contradiction. That's not what the Bible says. Read it for yourself. Why do you think I put the verse sheets in your hand every week? Because I don't want you to see my interpretation. I want you to see what God's word says. And then he goes on to insult the integrity of God in verse 5. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You see, God is withholding something good for you. You better dig in your heels and put up those walls of defense, because if you do things God's way, you're in for one miserable life. Folks, it's the biggest lie from Genesis in the Garden of Eden. Lean not to your own understanding. Dear God, this doesn't make any sense. God says, trust me. Trust me. Oliver Cromwell's secretary was dispatched to the continent on some important business. He stayed one night at a seaport town and tossed on his bed, unable to sleep. According to an old custom, a servant slept in his room and on this occasion slept soundly enough. The secretary at length awakened the man, who asked how it was that his master could not rest. I am so afraid something is going to go wrong with this journey, was the reply. Master, said the valet, may I ask a question or two? Certainly. Did God rule the world before you were born? Most assuredly he did. Will he rule it after you are dead? Certainly he will. Then, master, why not let him rule the present too? The secretary's faith was stirred. Peace was the result. In a few minutes, both he and his servants were sound asleep. God didn't need your opinion before you were born, and God's not going to be asking you how to rule the world when you're dead. He is quite capable of guiding and directing. We are not suggested to live by faith. We are told as believers to live by faith. Now the just shall, you are supposed to live by faith. And where he leads, I will go, provided I like it. No, God says, I have work for you to do. And sometimes it may not seem very pleasant, but I need you to trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. The just shall live by faith. You see that in Hebrews 10:38? Take a look at Habakkuk 2:4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans 1:17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. The just shall live by faith. You know why God repeated himself? Because he needed filler. The Bible was too short. He repeated himself because it was important. Live by faith. And we're not to withdraw. Look at again, Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, if a born-again person steps back and says, you know what, Lord, I can't do that. I don't trust you on this one. Do you draw back? My soul shall have no pleasure in him. This drawing back is not the loss of salvation, nor is it evidence that the person was never saved. It is evidence that the person does not really trust God in daily living, and God is not pleased. You trust me to save your eternal soul, and you will not trust me when I ask you to do something that's out of your comfort zone. See, it's easy to trust God when he asks us to do things in our comfort zone. Come out of your comfort zone. And believe me, God does that. Drawing back is not loss of salvation. Surely Peter did not lose his salvation when he denied Christ three times. Did he lose his fellowship? Yes. Consider 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, if we, Paul and Timothy, suffer, but we can also include any born-again person in this truth, we shall reign with him. If we, born-again people, deny him, he will deny us. That's where Peter was. Peter, you're denying me. Go stand by that fire by yourself. And Peter finally realized, and he wept bitterly, and he got himself back with the Lord. We're on our own when we deny the Lord. Let me just give you a little more reinforcement. Consider verse 13. Paul wrote these words, if we, Paul and Timothy, do you think Paul and Timothy were born again people? Yes. If we believe not, what if we stop believing? I don't believe Jesus paid for my sins. I was wrong. Let's read it. If we believe not, we stop believing, yet he, God, abides faithful. He cannot deny himself. See, there's a Holy Spirit that sealed us. Yes, we will lose our fellowship with God, but we will not lose our salvation because he cannot deny himself. The Holy Spirit is in us. We are the temple of God today. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed. That's why he can't deny himself. You're still my child, but right now I'm not real happy with you. He wants us to serve in faith and go where he tells us to go. See, obedience to God's will is faith in action. You can tell me you have faith in God. Show me. Show me. Did you know that's the one thing God says? Moreover, it's required in stewards a man be found faithful. Are you faithful to do what God wants you to do? Come out of your comfort zone, and God will do that intentionally. Now do you trust me? It's easy to say yes. Show me. He already knows what's in your heart. He lets you, by your obedience, show him and show others and show yourself. But where is your faith? Is it weak? Is it strong? Does it waver? Everybody's wavers. What do you think about? Do you think about the goodness and the strength and the faithfulness of God? Do you think about his goodness? Do you think about the many times he has guided you? Do you think about the mercy and grace that has forgiven you? Do you think about your eternal home in heaven? Do you think about your life being guided by God? Do you think about your purpose that God has for you? Or do you think about the discouragements of life? I just don't think I'm appreciated as I ought to be. Or do you think about some wrong that happened to you? Do you think that you're not satisfied in life for whatever reason? What do you dwell on? Because your thinking defines you. You need to think on the goodness of God and his faithfulness and have faith in him. Is it really so bad to be commanded to have faith in God? Stop and think about that statement. God can put the stars in place. And he says, would you please trust me? Lord, I just don't think you can handle my situation tomorrow. And he is saying, I keep the stars in space. I keep the balance of nature. I give you your next breath, and you don't think I can see you through tomorrow. He says, my soul has no pleasure in that man. Christian, trust God and watch him bless. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But I don't like the way the shepherd leads me. Is it really so awful? He makes me lay down in green pastures, and I'm so tired of those green pastures. If we would only think, you know why it's a problem? Because there is a very real devil who's planting thoughts in your mind. God really does not want the best for you. He knows that if you do this, how about try it? You'll like it. Can I encourage you to try having faith in God? Real faith? Years ago, I had a friend and I offered him a Texas ruby red grapefruit. Now, if you have ever had a Texas ruby red, it is extremely different from a Florida grapefruit. I don't know why they even grow Florida grapefruit. It is horrible, but a Texas ruby red is sweet and extremely tasty. There is no sour. It is a complete different animal. They're not the same. And I remember offering him a Texas ruby red. Nope, I don't like grapefruit. I said, this is not a Florida grapefruit. This is a ruby red. He refused to even try it. And I thought, what a blessing you missed because you won't even try it. How many Christians will not truly step out and trust God? Just try it. Would you try it? God says in Malachi, prove me. Would you please try it? And what seems to be shaky, thin ice is solid ground when you step out there. Our God is not asked to do something so that we fail. He has purpose. And the more you try it, and the more you step on it, you realize this is solid ground. This is the God that we have in heaven, and he says, I want the best for you. Would you trust me? Did you know that it seems at first that it's very risky to trust God? You want me to do what? But the more you try it, the more you realize there is no risk. And you realize this is good. There's no risk involved. If God said, do it, David said, I'll run across that battlefield. And he met Goliath and one stone and he was down. It's not risky. It may seem like it. But many saints have gone before and proven God that he is to be trusted. Now, I want to give a little bit of clarification. If you're not doing God's will, I don't care how much faith you have. Be prepared for failure. Do what God wants you to do. Luke 22:42, Father, Jesus Christ is saying, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You be in the will of God, no matter how much it is out of your comfort zone, and God will see you through it. Come out of your comfort zone. See, God wants us to change. That ugly word, change. Ephesians 4:22, put off. Oh, no, Lord, I don't do that. Would you please trust me? And verse 24. Would you please put on Ephesians 4:24? No, Lord, that's just not me. God wants you in verse 23 to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Would you have faith in God? And would you therefore take that faith and put this off, put this on and watch God bless. I only mean good for you. He wants us to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and at the same time the devil is going, hath God said? How do you do this? How do you get this faith? Let's get practical, because the Bible's practical. Proverbs 16:3. Commit your works unto the Lord, and then the thoughts are established. You see, the problem is we don't think that's a good idea, so we don't do it. God says, no, do it and let me establish your thinking. We have it backwards. We would say it the other way. Let your thoughts be established. And then we'll do it. No, God says, do it even though you're a little hesitant, even though you feel it's risky, even though it's out of your comfort zone, do it. And I will establish your thinking. Hey, this is solid ground. And your thinking changes. You're renewed in the spirit of your mind, but you have to do it. You have to take that Texas ruby red grapefruit and bite down. Hey, that doesn't taste like a Florida grapefruit. Yes, praise God. It's okay. We want to know before. And God says, no, it's by faith. Have faith. And it's solid ground. Try it. You'll like it. Commit your works. Do it. And God says, I will start to establish your thinking. Hey, this is all right. I had no idea. I was so fearful, there was nothing to be afraid of. I mean, this is all right. God, you really meant it. Yeah. Yeah, I really meant it. If we'd only try him. God tells us he is faithful. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he that called you, will do it. He calls you, I want you to do something. Oh, Lord, you've got to be kidding me. He says, I will do it. I will do it. I need you to pass baskets. I will multiply the fish and the loaves. But you've got to come out of your comfort zone. You called me, Lord? I'm sorry, I don't do that. God says, I didn't ask you if you do that. I told you to do this. And if you draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in you. Folks, step out in faith. God will do it. Come out of your comfort zone. A tourist years ago came too close to the edge of the Grand Canyon, lost his footing and plunged over the side, clawing and scratching to save himself. After he went out of sight and just before he fell into space, he encountered a scrubby bush, which he desperately grabbed with both hands. Filled with terror, he called out to heaven, "Is there anyone up there?" A calm, powerful voice came out of the sky, "Yes, there is." The tourist pleaded, "Can you help me? Can you help me?" The calm voice replied, "Yes, I probably can. What is your problem?" "I fell over the cliff and I'm dangling in space, holding to a bush that is about to let go. Please help me." The voice from above said, "I'll try. Do you believe?" "Yes, yes, I believe." "Do you have faith?" "Yes, yes, I have strong faith." The voice said, "Then let go." And the man paused and said, "Is there anyone else up there?" How many times are we like that person hanging on the edge? We won't let go. We are determined. We are going to get ourselves out of this. And God says, would you do what I ask you to do? It is solid ground. It may look like we are dangling over thin air and the bottom is 1,000 feet below us. And God says, would you trust me? Take a look at Acts chapter 5, verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord. I want to stop there. The Bible calls us believers. Because theoretically, we believe. Hence the moniker, believers. Do you believe? Did you believe he saved your soul for all eternity? Then believe he can see you through today and tomorrow. Yes, but Lord. And he says, trust me. Trust me. Trust me in daily living. Be willing to come out of your comfort zone. We will get more specific into that. What does it mean to come out of your comfort zone? And we're going to look at biblical illustrations of people that have come out of their comfort zone, gone where God wants them to go, and they have proven him and found him to be faithful. That's not me. I believe you. Then change. It begins by faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Let that hand represent you, me, every person. We all come into this world with a sin debt. God loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. Oh, how God loves the sinner. He loves sinners so much, he's not willing that any of them should perish. Go to hell after death. He doesn't want that for anybody. So he made the provision. You see, we couldn't do anything to get rid of that in our own strength. He had to provide himself a lamb. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, came to this earth, born of a virgin, lived the perfect life, for he was perfect, he was God, and the sin of the world was laid upon him. He was beaten, his hair was plucked out, he was mocked, he was spit upon, and he went to the cross. And they nailed him there, and he died. He gave up the ghost. 3 days, three nights in the tomb, he rose again, paid in full. How do you go to heaven? By faith. By faith in what? Realizing I get it. It's nothing that I do that gets rid of that sin debt. You could walk this aisle, raise hands, join this church, whatever. Won't buy you a moment in heaven. Because this sin debt is too great for our deeds to satisfy. Therefore, God made the only provision, the perfect provision, his Son, to take your sin, my sin, and the sin of the whole world on him 2,000 years ago. And he gave his life and rose again, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. When you have faith in that, and that alone, Lord, that's what saves me. That moment, you are born again. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And even if you stop believing, he says, I can't deny myself. I promised you, if you would believe. Your faith may get weak, but once you're saved, you're always saved. For God so loved the world, but he hated the sin, that he gave his only begotten Son to pay the sin debt of the world. Whosoever sinner believes in his work of redemption and that alone for their salvation shall not perish, go to hell, but have everlasting life. What's the context? Jesus Christ is telling Nicodemus how to go to heaven. Do you think Jesus forgot to tell him something? Oh, I forgot water baptism. I'm sorry, Nicodemus, you're going to hell. I forgot to tell you. The plan of salvation. You believe that Jesus paid your sin debt. And that alone gets you to heaven. Not works and Jesus. Jesus only. The moment you believe that, God knows your thought. Whosoever believeth shall not perish. Doesn't say have good works. Do you believe? You have eternal life. Now that you're born again, the just shall live by faith in their daily walk. That is the emphasis of our study.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.